More dirt and spray.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like a great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
We got a lot to get to in the final 2 hours of our week. Happy Friday. Hope your mornings are off to a great start. I have children controversies in the notes today. I have, do we like what we put in it, in the notes today. Do you see where we had a bomb threat yesterday?
Where we
Here
had a bomb threat?
In Portland in
the,
or in
the local area. We had a bomb threat yesterday.
Did we?
We did. Had to evacuate.
How about that?
We had a bomb threat. We'll talk about our bomb threats.
God, did I miss a bomb threat?
You missed a bomb threat. You missed an evacuation.
Evacuation.
Thank you. And a bomb threat yesterday.
Not good.
We have a guy dunking on his new fan base in the NBA. Which I quite enjoy.
He's dunking on his fan base and he's new?
On his new team.
It's Ja.
It is not Ja.
Don't sleep on Ja.
We're woke on Ja. It ain't Ja. Okay. And now Ja might dunk on us some way tomorrow. Like, remember when we beat you sometime someplace? I don't know what his dunk would be. But all of that is still in the notes over the next 2 hours of our Friday. And I'll get wiggling a little more World Cup as we go into the weekend. I just locked in because I was thinking about Spain. Because you're mentioning that game is today. They played Belgium today.
Yeah.
Spain, correct me if I'm wrong, they have not given up a goal yet?
Nope.
Has Spain scored more than one goal in a game?
I think they had a...
Yeah, I think they had a
1-2-0 game?
Something like that.
But the majority of their games have been 1-0, right?
Low-scoring, defensive-heavy, yeah.
The 1-0 exact
outcome...
Well,
they had the scoreless draw with Cape Verde.
Ah, so they had a game where they didn't score a goal.
To start.
That's right. I remember that being very controversial. I think it's like plus... I just bet plus 650 for a specific 1-0 Spain win.
That's good odds.
That's what I thought.
Because Belgium is feisty, as we saw.
Didn't Belgium kind of suck, though, a little bit before they played us?
They're supposed to be an older Belgium group.
Right.
That game should not have gone that way. It's kind of their last hurrah
okay. with De Bruyne and...
It's one thing to beat us. It's another to beat us the way that they did.
They had laid a couple... I mean, they'd obviously advanced at that point, but they had not been perfect through their run in the World Cup. They'd shown a lot of weaknesses.
No.
So, one to nothing. I just put that bet in the last segment. Let's get ready to yell about college football. You ready?
I'm all in. I'm excited about it. The season, the camps are about to start here in a few weeks.
It's around the corner, man. The video game's out. The magazines are coming out. It's like, here we go. Media days have begun this week. We've talked a lot of college football. I want to start with and who doesn't love a good ranking? We love a good ranking when it comes out. This is brought to you by the entire college football staff at ESPN. So everybody who writes about college football, think about them. They're involved in this. And they ranked the coaches. Now, it's interesting where some coaches show up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that I'm going to start in a place of defending somebody that it pains me to defend. But I think that I have to.
Okay.
Mario Cristobal is 10th on this list.
Yeah.
And I certainly understand that he's had his issues losing games he shouldn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
Playing down at times to opponents.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately... Shouldn't last year's end result of reaching the national championship outweigh some of the other weaknesses? Because you could say, all right, well, yeah, I think he's the 10th best coach. Well, who are the others that are ahead of him? Let me give you some of the names on the list. Are you ready for this? So the top five, I think we can all guess the top five. You want to take a shot at the top five?
Well, I have the list.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Kurt Cignetti, 1.
Yep.
Kirby Smart, 2.
Yep.
Ryan Day, 3. Marcus Freeman, 4. Dan Lanning, 5.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe some people don't think Lanning should be in there because he doesn't want a big, quote-unquote playoff game, whatever. But, like, that's the pretty bare minimum top five that you're going to see across the majority of coach lists in the sport right now. Steve Sarkisian at 6.
Well, you say he hasn't won a national championship on Lanning. Like, either has 8, 9...
None of these guys have.
6, 7, right. 8, 9, or 10.
Lane Kiffin, 7.
Yeah, that's controversial.
Mike Elko, 8. Who Boy. I love. I think Mike Elko's a good coach.
But you finally have a great... I mean, not finally. You have a good year at... Texas A&M, you lose the playoff game at home to who? Right?
Kyle Whittingham, 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mario Cristobal, 10. And again, this makes...
Who
not
are
even,
you bumping, then?
I am bumping him ahead of,
because
the Whittingham argument I can see of less resources. Like, this is the fascinating thing about college football right now. Fewer resources at Utah, but always was competitive and winning. Now the theory of giving him more resources, I get that. That's fine. You want to have Whittingham ahead of him, the length of his career, totally fine with it. Mm-hmm. Mike Elko, in his short run at A&M, he's been good. I would not rank him ahead of Mario Cristobal. Lane Kiffin finally got Ole Miss to the point of being in the place that Miami was last year. He's also had a lot of ups and downs throughout his career, lost a lot of games. He damn near lost to the Cougs at home last year. So if I'm going to criticize Mario for something, I got to criticize Lane for it. And the Sark one is interesting. Like, he had back-to-back playoff appearances. They lost to the Huskies the first time they went. The next year they came back and they beat Clemson and ASU and then lost to Ohio State. And last year was a bit of a dud. And so I would have, right now, honestly, I would put Mario probably sixth on my list, followed by Whittingham, who would still be in my top 10, then Elko, then Kiffin, and then Steve Sarkisian.
No, I'm not. You can probably point to something with Lane, but you're citing Lane almost losing to the Cougs is the same as Mario beating Ohio State and losing to 3-9.
No, but I'm also saying that one's been to a national championship and the other one's never won a playoff game.
Look, I'm okay if you want Cristobal over Lane Kiffin. I'm not going to argue about Lane Kiffin and Mario Cristobal. What the interesting thing to me about Mario, because it's certainly, it didn't end with the dream, winning the title in your city.
No.
Should we allow getting to the title game to jump other coaches as like a form of using that as the argument?
My argument,
because here's the thing. Where did they technically finish in the ACC? Wasn't it fifth?
I don't.
Because Duke ended up winning the conference championship game.
I mean, you had
or at least they were fifth going into the weekend, whatever it was.
You had a ridiculous like five-way tie.
So you're tied with four other teams in what we would largely say, I think, as college football fans, a garbage conference.
Sure.
Duke won the title game at 7-5.
They were in a five-way tie for second place.
Okay.
SMU, Miami, Pitt, Georgia Tech, and Duke all were 6-2 in conference.
You have inexplicable losses at both institutions. Well, the last two institutions, one he's at, the one before that.
I mean, that's all we're really. We're not counting the FIU.
Florida, FIU,
Oregon and Miami.
So he has inexplicable losses. He beat A&M. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think A&M was the world beaters, but you know, it's a road game, so let's give the credit. You beat Ohio State, and we got Mike Irvin belt to butt, right?
We did.
I also didn't think that Ohio State team was as good as advertised. And you gave Indiana a fight. There's no doubt about that. Should that just override everything else with
totally
him?
Totally fair.
If I asked you right now today, Dirt, all things are equal, you have to pick a coach. Are you picking Mario or Elko? I think you would pick Elko. I really do, and I could be wrong.
Why is that, though?
I don't know.
This is why I'm curious.
Well, you loved Elko coming into A&M.
I mean, I did, yeah.
And he had a great year.
Look, I'm also trying to just be honest and aware of, like, there's been a lot of critiques I've had about Mario, but I think last year showed that he can truly win at the highest level. And there was always a question about him because of some of the hurdles that he couldn't get over and the dumb losses. You're like, you lost to who? Stanford? What?
But is there anybody in this top 10? This is what I'd say, too. This goes back to the Sam Darnold stuff. This is kind of the same thing for me. There's nobody in the top 10 I look at and I say they can't win at the highest level. I'm not going to. Why would we say that?
No, I'm not saying that.
Do I trust Sark the most?
But
there, no.
Let's not act like that wasn't out there about Mario at times.
It definitely was.
Like, he was always shooting himself in the foot and losing games he wasn't supposed to.
Right.
And your argument is incredibly valid. I'm not saying to discredit all of that and none of it matters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The counter would be, what has Mike Elko done to be ranked ahead of Mario?
Well, that's certainly a fair thing to be
asked. What is the biggest game Lane Kiffin's won in his career?
I'm sure there's one at Ole Miss that I'm right now freezing up and not remembering. There has to be one.
Almost beat Georgia in the regular season.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Didn't coach the playoff game, so he didn't have a chance to do that.
No, he didn't. He abandoned his team.
Year before that, they lost at home to Kentucky to keep him out of the college football playoffs. So it's like that.
I don't think we're really arguing, right? Because I think you and I are fine saying, like, Mario's better than Elko and Kiffin, or at least accomplished a little bit more, so let's give him the leeway. If you even want to put him above Whittingham, I guess I'm fine with that. My whole point is, like, I also don't know how many random years, and not that Miami was way out of the blue, mm-hmm. but how many years will we get a team in the title game that we weren't expecting? Like, were we expecting Notre Dame in the title game?
No, I don't think expecting was.
Were we expecting Miami?
I don't think we were shocked by it.
Were we
but
expecting
they
Ole Miss
pick.
To be in the semis? Like,
no,
I
they
think
weren't the pick going in.
The beauty of the playoff and the teams that are in it now, the expanded thing be damned, is that you can be an all-time great team in the regular season, see your team 2 years ago.
Sure.
None of that matters when you get to a it's an elimination game standard, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, your team can be great, and football will always football, and we see it in the NFL, and we're seeing it in college.
Right.
So I don't know how much I should put in. Well, Mario got to a title game. He didn't win it, but he got to it. So I'm going to elevate him to what? Over Lanning? Over Elko? Over Whitting? Like, I don't know how we draw these lines because a team that we didn't expect to get there got there.
Right. I certainly understand the point, and I don't think getting there is the end-all be-all in terms of if you've played in a national championship game, you have to be ranked in the top whatever ranked of coaches. But I also think there's a middle ground of giving it the credit that it deserves, because if we're going to use that argument to hold other coaches down, mm-hmm. which certainly happens in the sport, it happens to my guy quite often. If that's going to be an argument, doesn't the argument have to work in the other way of like Lanning can't win the big one? Well, then doesn't it mean Mario should be ranked higher because he's gotten closer to winning the big one and won a couple of big playoff games and gotten into a national championship race? I also give him a lot of credit. And again, this is painful for me to say, but one of the bigger criticisms of him in his time at Oregon and then leaving was that he was always going to have restrictor plates on what he could accomplish mm-hmm. because he was never going to fully unlock his offense and he was always going to run it in the A-gap and it was just going to be like, what are you doing? In the last 2 years, he's had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that they were a playoff caliber team 2 years ago. Would they have gone on the same run? No, because their defense wasn't as good, but their offense was better. Mm-hmm. Beck does it for a year. They went out and got Darian Mensah. Guess what Miami's going to be this year? Darian Mensah might be the best quarterback in college football this season. He has a legitimate shot and legitimate argument going into the year. They're going to be a playoff team again this year. And so that's another part of my ranking right now. It's not necessarily just off of last season and where you went. It's also the thought of how confident am I in you in the next 2 to 3 years and where you're going. And we did the Adam Rittenberg, you know, buying future stocks and programs and all of that. There's not many that I would put ahead of Miami and Mario right now because we've always known he could recruit. We've always known he can bring in talent. And now he's kind of solved that big offense quarterback issue that he had at times in his career of thinking, are you holding guys back? He got a Heisman Trophy. Beck was solid for them last year. And I think Mensah's going to tear it up for him this year. And so, again, we're splitting hairs with all this of where you rank coaches. That's why it's such a fun debate. But I did not have any issue with really anything else in the rankings, including my guy coming in at number 5. I don't know if he has a strong enough resume to say that, undoubtedly he should be ahead of X, Y, and Z.
Also receiving votes, Dabo, Matt Campbell, Rhett Lashley, and then this one kind of surprised me. Eric Morris hasn't coached a single second in Oklahoma State.
No,
he's coming
not.
From North Texas. Great job.
Which is, again, why I'm very interested in that game. He's guy who's got a lot of hype in the sport right now.
Why does Eric Morris have more votes than Kalani Sitake and Kenny Dillingham and, like, Clark Lee is what he's done at Vanderbilt?
I'd even argue the other guy on there, Willie Fritz, kind of goes under the radar at Houston. Like, he's been fine.
So out on Willie Fritz. I don't know why.
Because you got to take him on this year. You're scared of the Fritz man.
I didn't
man.
Think they were very good last year. I was very underwhelmed actually watching them until they had the comeback at the end. The thing I would say on Mario, like, you're making good points, but here's the other problem. You're probably right on Mensah. That was a big pickup for them because everybody's like, who are you going to get, man? Like, what's going to happen?
He's been really good.
They downgraded in quarterback last season and got further than he's ever gotten before.
Right.
He had an all-time great quarterback performance, but what was his big thing so far up until that point? He was basically Lincoln Riley East.
Yeah.
He was big talent getter.
Good recruiter.
Established name. Great recruiter. Here he comes. Oh, Miami. This is going to...
Sure.
And crickets.
He'd lose a game he shouldn't lose, and it would keep him from the playoffs.
Cam Ward had a remarkable year his last year, which
fantastic.
Is what propelled him to be the number one pick in the draft.
Yes, and a Heisman Trophy winner.
And he couldn't get to the playoff with him. So, like, I'm with you in some senses of, like, I know the talent's going to be there. I also know he's going to disappoint.
They'll drop a game this year they probably shouldn't drop.
I also know that somebody in the ACC is probably going to emerge this year. Who is that? I don't know. But I think the parity in college football, in the NIL world, in the space that it is, last year, if I told you with the talent they had, Texas was going to miss the playoff, you don't have to be a big Sark fan. I don't know if that percentage is very high of like, yep, I could see it. I think you say 10-2 and in, you go, sure. And that's the difference I think we need to get to on these coaching lists. We can argue about all these guys. Ultimately, whatever. To me, it's the how many disappointing seasons do you have and how much harder it is to actually continue to be in the conversation in a landscape that it's crushing everybody. Every school, every program with the most money to the not most money. We can get to the coaches, by the way, the Big 12, having the idea of what the playoff committee should be doing and evaluating with this.
Oh, I saw that.
But I just think because of how difficult all of this is now for everybody, when you have years of not making it versus like, oh, he made the title game, here he goes now. Well, what if he doesn't? What if he's 9-3 and has...
Misses the playoff.
He loses to Notre Dame
and
then has two stupid conference losses. Are we back to going, Mario'd? Because I don't... How much better or as good as that defense going to be
even if
Mensah does perform well?
Totally fair. I think I would just say I'm going off of where I would rank them right now. It's not a guarantee what a coach or team will do in the years to come. And if that happens, you reassess. He doesn't belong in the top five. Like that. If he goes 9-3 and misses the playoff again next year, like then yes, you have one outlier year and the others are all the same. If he builds on it, then I think he solidifies the argument.
You know what he is to me? He's the Jalen Brown of coaches.
Yeah, he's very debated, very controversial.
There's a lot of evidence that he's good. And so, I think at a bare minimum, even if you're not the biggest Mario fan, you say, oh, yeah, good coach.
Yes.
But what is he great at?
Not good.
How does he separate himself? Like, play the game not so much like what you've accomplished, rank him. So I just run it down. Would you rather have Mario or Cignetti?
Well, obviously, Cignetti.
Okay. Would you rather have Mario or Kirby Smart?
Kirby Smart.
Would you rather have Mario or Ryan Day?
That's a debatable one for me.
Okay.
Because Ryan Day was, I mean, what did we say about Ryan Day until 2 years ago? Ryan Day was this. He was one of the most disrespected coaches in the country.
It led him to pierce his nipples.
Yes. Dye his hair and his beard. Go through a midlife crisis.
Marcus Freeman or Mario?
I would take Marcus Freeman.
Dan Lanning or Mario?
I mean, you know where I'm going there.
Yeah, you can go Dan the Man.
Dan the Man.
Steve Sarkisian.
I think this is a valid
debatable one.
I think it's a very debatable one.
So, like, when you start to get, and look, Ryan Day, if you want to say that, that's fine. I think more people than not would pick Ryan Day.
Sure.
Maybe wrong
because
on that.
He's got a championship, but my point would be.
Well, he's kept it going.
Yes, no doubt about it.
You know,
no doubt about it.
That's part of it. I know Ohio State has money, so I don't want to disregard that, but, like, he's kept it humming.
And I want to be fair to Mario there in terms of, like, Miami was not the worst program in the world, but let's not act like he took over Ohio State.
No, I know.
Right? Or Notre Dame was in a really good spot when Freeman took over. Like, there are jobs that you take over that it's like, just don't ruin it. Okay, he's fine. He's good. And jobs that you have to build to a certain point. And he has had to get. Miami was always going to recruit. They were going to have money. They got a good, you know, all the talent around them. All that stuff was there for them.
Yeah.
But then you got to go actualize it into wins and losses on the field.
I just view him as the Jalen Brown of coaches. How many programs fire their coach to bring him in?
I get it. It's a legitimate conversation. I would think about it. I mean, that's obviously tough, right?
Would you have Kalen DeBoer or Mario?
I think they're very similar in some regards. I think they're very similar. Kalen DeBoer's biggest bugaboo has been he loses games he's not supposed to lose. What has Mario's biggest problem been at times in his career? He loses games he's not supposed to lose. And you can make the comp to Lincoln Riley, and I see the point on a lot of talent but not quite fully living up to the potential. One of the reasons I would take a guy like Mario Cristobal over a Lincoln Riley is that I just think having beef in the trenches is incredibly valuable, and that's something that Mario's always believed in. And you can point to Miami from 2 years ago to this. What was the biggest difference? They had defensive studs on their line.
Yeah, their defense.
That's why they went on a run in
the
playoffs.
That's why they sucked with Cam Ward.
They dominated Ohio State up front. They couldn't run the ball on them. They did it to Indiana. Not many teams did it to Indiana. They made them look normal offensively. Like, their front seven and their offensive line were ultimately what got them there, and that is the strength of Mario Cristobal, his line of scrimmage play, and he has his basically like a kid in the candy store picking his kid from the crop. Anyways, I want to get to a couple of the notes from this, including did they do my guy right? You mentioned the Big 12 coaches. What are we doing here? Hasn't the sport always been this way? We'll get to it next on The Fam. Greg's in here rolling putts, getting ready. Greens are moving today. They're moving pretty fast. Listeners alerting to us in the last update, evidently Swag said, where did this go? What did you say? Jovak Nokovic was said in the last, not in
you
this update,
Jovak?
But the previous top of the hour update. So maybe we need to go back and check the tape on that because that's pretty funny if you did.
Joker's
probably
up
1-0. Did.
Probably did. It happens. You know, hey, sometimes it happens.
I'm rooting for Joker. Of all the greats, the Nadals, the Federers, Djokovic, I dislike Djokovic the most.
Really?
Yeah. But he's probably the GOAT. which pains me because I think it's Federer. Prime Federer, I think, is better than Prime Djokovic, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm without a doubt rooting for Joker to do this. I
you don't want this English cat to win?
Well,
or did he already lose? He already lost.
Zverev took him out in three
sets. I'm talking about
thanks for coming.
Jannik Sinner.
This is
Jannik Sinner, huh?
I hate this dude.
This guy right here.
First of all.
Why do we hate him? Because of his clothes? His face?
His face. Yeah, his face is everything. He's also a steroid user.
He does have a bit of a punchable face.
He's been in trouble for PEDs.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he taking him to recover from injuries or get strong? Because he doesn't look very strong.
Well, he's been one of the best players in like the last
five I know,
years.
But I mean, he looks like he doesn't look bulky, you know.
Neither did Ryan Braun.
That is very true. That is very, neither did Dee Gordon.
Dee Gordon is the best one right there.
Okay, so we're rooting for the Joker here?
I hate, I strongly dislike Jannik Sinner.
I'm interested in the, can I give you a fun golf slash tennis fact?
All day.
Yeah. All day?
Bring it to me.
That fills your hole?
That's all I've been playing lately. Golf and then tennis with my kids.
You see who missed the cut this weekend?
Well, it's not official yet, but it will be.
Thank you.
The Doucher?
No.
No.
He's not playing. He's filming YouTube content in Canada.
Rom was shooting terrible last
time. He might miss the cut. I don't know what he's doing.
He might,
today.
But the guy That's with not the longest cut. Current consecutive cuts made streak.
Scotty?
Yes.
Missed the cut. The last time Scotty Scheffler missed a cut, Sinner and Alcaraz, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Had zero combined Grand Slams.
Wow.
They have 11 now.
Yeah.
He has made 78 consecutive cuts, and he missed the cut this weekend. The second round's still finishing right now.
Yeah,
but wrapping up the afternoon. He's going to miss the cut.
Yeah, projected cut of -2, he's even and finished.
It ain't happening.
How about Rory, 9-under?
He's getting ready.
Well, I mean, what I'm kind of curious.
Get you another one of them things.
I don't want to make this a whole golf segment.
I'd love to. I can put college football to the next segment if you want.
No, I want to get to the college football. Okay. Scotty is very interesting right now because he had.
It's the first time we've seen him look human. This is the question. Will he ever be human? He looks human.
And we see it sometimes with those guys. Once they look human, it's hard to be unhuman.
Yes,
you know
it
what
is.
I mean?
A lot of those guys are here, and then they hum at a little bit lower level. Yeah. What did he have recently?
An arrest?
No, he got kids. He got kids, man.
Kid number two.
Family's getting in the way. Golfers can't have kids. They can't have family.
The take was get married.
Same thing.
That didn't
Once
work.
Once you get married, it follows. And you have a kid. It's all over, Scotty. Should have gotten out while you had the chance, Scotty. There goes your GOAT status. Talking some college football, there was something Big 12 coaches asked for that I think needs to be made fun of. I'll get to that in a moment. Before I do, did they do my guy right? Dan Lanning, number 5 on the ESPN Coach Power Ranking list. Too high, too low, just right.
People love to use titles for qualifiers in a lot of lists. Certainly fair. When you look at consistency, contending, favorites, all of it, I don't know how he's not.
Who would you rather have as your head coach, Marcus Freeman or Dan Lanning?
So this is what's funny. I read a blog post about Freeman and the recruiting battle that him and Lanning are in right now. Like they're
going after a kid.
Well, they're neck and neck in the rankings.
Oh, yeah, for top class, yeah.
And Freeman's always kind of gotten a lot of like, he's so damn hot and look at this guy.
Yeah.
And, he's got a big narrative about him. And so does Dan Lanning because he's smart and he knows how to navigate the waters of the media.
Yeah.
I just read it and I text you Freeman or Lanning. And you had coincidentally read that article on ESPN. I hadn't even seen it at that point. So when you responded with, I'm actually going to get to the top 10 list, I was like, I got to check some out.
Had it on my show notes.
And so I still have been battling this in my head, who I'd rather have between Marcus Freeman and Dan Lanning.
It's really tough because there's arguments on each side. The Lanning argument would be, I think Oregon has hovered at a higher level more consistently than Notre Dame.
And I have an easy rebuttal to that.
Oh, what's the rebuttal?
It's not to knock Lanning because I give him his flowers.
Right.
It's to simply say, I think it's a little harder to get it done at Notre Dame than Oregon.
Really? Even the last 2 years with the Big Ten?
Yes.
You think Oregon's schedule's easier than Notre Dame's?
I don't. I'm not saying the schedule. Well, actually, I'd have to line that up. I don't know what their actual
Notre Dame's schedule was pretty bad last year. And they lost the only two games to
They play a lot
relevant
of the
teams.
Same teams, and then they get to dabble in the ACC
You just mean
stuff.
From an academic standpoint or a
the
financial? Sure, that's fair.
The
that's
institutions.
Totally fair. Lanning, I think they have been. Weren't they the same cycle? I think they were. Career records, Marcus Freeman, 43-12. Dan Lanning, 48-8. So not that big of a difference.
Lanning has him beat in the I haven't lost to the team I shouldn't lose to category.
Without a doubt.
That's
and
not even
Freeman
close.
Has him beat in the I've won the bigger game to get to the big game that you have not been able to win.
I can't push that. I can't put that poll question up here.
No, because you know what the results will be.
Because it's going to be 98% Lanning.
The stat continues to blow me away. So I'm just reading through this, the descriptor of why they rank guys where. So they had Freeman at 4 and Lanning at 5. I, for one, because you asked me about this yesterday, I agreed with the ranking. And I'm somebody who just thinks that like getting to the title game should count for something. And he outcoached Kirby Smart in a bowl game. Now, the Penn State win is whatever for me because Dan Lanning also beat Penn State a few weeks earlier in the Big Ten title game. So, like, you change pathways. Maybe the results are different here. That's maybe the pro-Lanning argument in this case. But one guy's been to a championship game. The other guy hasn't. I would take Freeman for that reason right now. This stat, though, blows me away every time I see it. In the last three seasons, against teams that ended up in the national title or played for the national or won the national title or ended up in the game,
yep.
Dan Lanning is 1-5 against them. He is 37-0 against everybody else.
It's always the title.
Everybody else, 37-0 in the last 3 years against teams who have not played in the national championship.
You and I, like when they lost to Indiana the way they did, you're going to come in and you're a diehard and you're going to have some emotion tied to that. And a lot of Duck fans did. I just am asking you. What we ended up pointing out in that show, because I remember it, is continuing to highlight, one, you're not going to win it every year.
No.
Some years you might win it in a year you least expect versus the years you expect, right?
It'd be funny if that happened, yeah.
And that can happen. And he is young is what we kept pointing to, right? Where he's at in his career, Pate has pointed this out on our show of like, do you know he's this age and right. Nick Saban didn't accomplish that until this age? And
how many
like
years
as
a head
gap.
Coach it took him to win a national title?
Yeah. I just am starting to wonder with Lanning, and I think there's Sarkisian's in this. Kiffin's certainly going to be in the microscope here.
Yeah. What about Freeman? He missed the playoff last year.
Yeah, Freeman's certainly won. I just, with Lanning keeping it local, you're going to go into a playoff game because I just don't foresee it in a situation where they're not in it, barring like crazy amounts of injury.
It'd be disastrous, yep.
I think if everybody's largely healthy, I don't see a scenario you don't make the playoff. If they don't win it, where just like the emotional trust is of like going into a game, is it a white knuckle ride? Are you already there? Is it you're feeling a little down because you're going against ex-coach? Like you can say he's a top five coach and make an easy case for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes against Mario Cristobal, how you're feeling about that? If he goes against Kalen DeBoer, who, you know, the 0-3 thing with three straight in 2 years, like, I just wonder where Duck fans are going to be at going into those contests. It's not that you don't trust it. It's more like...
Not in a great headspace. That's where we're going to be. When the season ends the way the season ended the last 2 years, dude, it's...
I don't know how to explain it either.
Nobody does. That's why it's really questionable.
To lose in that fashion.
Because they're both rematches, and the first time you played them, the games were very different, right? Now, the Indiana beat you twice. You beat Ohio State the first time.
But what are you doing on film
right,
for
how
these
does it change
to
that much?
Absolutely obliterate.
And you can look for little excuses here or there of the coordinators leaving or the running back injuries, but like that doesn't excuse dumping down your leg entirely. And the games were very different, too, and we don't need to rehash all of that out.
Yeah.
I think the idea of if they don't win it this year, the follow-up question, like how would I feel about Lanning going forward? You know my stance on this, and I have tried to remain steadfast. I said this 3 years ago when he lost to Kalen DeBoer twice. Mm-hmm. This is before we knew Kalen DeBoer was leaving. I said this: they're crippling losses. They're incredibly painful. But what's he doing better than Washington? Recruiting. What is he bringing more of in than Washington? Talent. Like this is going to. This is about a 1 year stock buy and a long term stock buy. And the long-term stop by for me has never changed. Oregon's not going anywhere from being one of the best teams in the sport. And so if they don't win the national championship this year, my answer on that will not change. The follow-up is, how does it look of them not winning the national championship? Is it 42-0 at halftime against fill-in-the-blank team mm-hmm. that beat you in the regular season? Like, yeah, that's a very difficult spot to find yourself in. 2 years ago, I said that'll never happen. Like, no way that happens again. And then it happened again. And if it happens 3 years in a row, then some legitimately hard questions need to be asked because it's just, you can't say these are just outliers of how is this happening. This doesn't make any sense. It's happened 3 years in a row. This is becoming a problem now. And it's funny, somebody texted in the last segment, an Oregon fan, who's like, man, I hate to admit this. I'll just paraphrase because I can't find it.
Yeah.
He's basically like, I hate to admit this, but when Mario was here, we always killed him for losing the games that he wasn't supposed to. But what did Mario seemingly always do? He'd get up, like, they'd be ready to go for big games. Now, and I know not all of them.
Come on, man. You won at Penn State. You beat Ohio State.
No doubt about it.
Mario didn't get to the playoff.
He did not. But the playoff also wasn't 12 teams
And
Lanning would have been in the playoff with a four-team. Well, maybe not four-team last year. But 2 years ago, they certainly would have been in a four-team field.
They were close in the last year, the four-team, with the UW
They absolutely
games.
Were.
They were right in the
one win away from going, right? So they were in the – and they would have been in a 12-team playoff format that year. It's just – I'm not saying that Lanning has never gone up for a big game and won it. You know how I feel about Lanning. It's not a criticism.
If Lanning loses to a 3-9 team this year, that's the thing is, it sucks to lose, right? After a certain point, you're like, all right, well, we're getting our butts kicked. It's questionable. It's puzzling. I was confused. I did not expect Indiana to do to Oregon what they did.
Nobody did.
I didn't expect Ohio State to do what they did 2 years
Nobody
ago.
Nobody did.
You also saw Mario choke away the Stanford game at home, right? Remember that one?
I was there in person. I remember it well.
And then beat Ohio State the next year.
Right.
At Ohio State to follow that up with a 3-9 loss against, or a loss to a 3-9 Stanford team?
Yeah.
I hear what that person
This is
saying.
Not, I'm not trying to make a Mario over Lanning argument. It's
no,
just
no,
that
no.
is something that Mario is known for. And Lanning has it in the regular season. He has massive wins in the regular season. But the way that they've ended the year the last 2 years, it's jarring.
Yeah, and prior to last year, what did Mario have?
Fair.
And that's
totally
look, the
fair.
Playoff is how a lot of people are dictating all of this,
this
conversation.
Is how a lot of it is viewed through
so
people, yeah.
Lanning needs to, and I mean no disrespect here, but also the reality is college football fans don't care that you beat James Madison.
No, it doesn't count.
And Texas Tech, there you go. That's a good
win. They dominated Texas Tech.
They dominated.
It was a good defensive team, and you beat them 26-0.
There was never a doubt. That was a no-brain. That game's over when it was 6-0. You could see that. You just can't be getting your ass whooped every time when you do the rematch thing.
And that's my point of this year. If you don't win the national title and you look back and you say, man, you got to the semifinals and Georgia beat you on a field goal, damn it. I can live with that and lay my head on the pillow every night and say, we're in a good spot. We're not going anywhere. This guy's fine. It's a different between if you get to that spot again and it's Georgia and it's 28-0 in the first quarter. How? How does that happen again? I know you're a better team than this. It doesn't make sense in my head.
Poll question is up, by the way, and I don't know if Mario's run last year has helped reverse Duck fan feelings about him, so maybe he wins this, but poll question is up. Which college football coach would you choose? Lincoln Riley, Steve Sarkisian?
Ooh.
Mario Cristobal?
Ooh.
Or Kalen DeBoer?
Ooh. This is interesting because in our bubble, I think the answer for a lot of people will be Lanning. And I hate to throw this at the
end. The Lanning Freeman one, I still don't have an answer.
It's very difficult.
I was thinking about this
yesterday,
and I'm like, damn, dude.
There's arguments on both sides. I get both of them. What coaches of these top 10... Who's under the most pressure? And Lincoln Riley, by the way, is not even in the top 10.
It has
but
to
we
be.
Could throw
it
him
has
in there.
To be Lane because of how everything has happened.
Yeah. But 8-4 year one at LSU would be a disaster.
If you remove the LSU pressure, you remove the ditching your team before the playoff, right? If we just can take him and put him to a side and say, that's the universal agreement.
Right.
I think it's your boy.
Is it more than Sark at Texas? If they don't make the playoff in back-to-back years with Arch Manning?
Wow. They don't make the playoff.
They didn't make the playoff last year.
I know.
They weren't in the playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the fun part is you can, again, also make an argument for so many guys on this list in this top 10.
Even Kirby Smart, people are like, yo, what's going on?
Yes, Georgia fans.
You can't win titles anymore.
Georgia fans are already doing it. Why can't they haven't won a playoff game in 3 years.
Don't go to the Sugar Bowl.
Just stay away,
they keep
dude.
Losing.
Kiffin and all the pressure there. Yeah. DeBoer, what if DeBoer goes 8-4 again this year?
That's what a lot of people are projecting right now. He's like a 19th in a preseason.
Starting
top 25.
An unproven quarterback? Good luck. All right. One more bit of college football. I'm going to have some fun in the final hour. I got some random stuff I'm going to throw at you guys. But the Big 12 wants to do something when it comes to ranking playoff teams, and I don't understand it. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Last one on this, because it is an interesting question at the Fan text line. 503-864-6326. Where do you fall on the we lost to the national champs versus if for Oregon we shouldn't lose like that anytime?
Yeah.
What mood am I in for the day? Am I in a good mood? We just lost to the national champs. Am I down in the dumps? That shouldn't happen.
Ah, dude.
There's a sliding scale depending on my mood.
Because
both
happen.
Arguments are you've 37-0 against everybody else. That's nice.
Yeah.
But
the only loss that you've ever had that you shouldn't, and you can say Washington, because I understand the rivalry, is Oregon State.
Yeah, I mean, the Washington...
That's the only one.
The second-year Washington was obviously a very good team. The year before that, you had the Knicks injury at the end of the game, and that lingered into the Civil War a little bit, but that's, yeah, Oregon State couldn't throw a forward pass in that game.
And Indiana proved to be somewhat of a juggernaut and different than any of us maybe expected in the going undefeated winning the Natty, but, like, right. Let's not forget going into Eugene. They were, like, 7.5 to 8-point underdogs.
They were big. There was no juice on the game.
No juice. I couldn't get juice out of you. You were like, it's Indiana. And it's like, I think a lot of Duck fans felt that way.
Yeah.
And then it was a game, and then they lost. You're holy crap.
The first time they lose a game this year, if it happens, I guarantee everybody will say the same thing. Congrats to fill in the blank on winning the national championship.
Or you beat the big team that's ranked, and they go, congratulations
on winning the rematch.
Yeah,
if it happens. Big 12 Media Days are wrapping up in Texas, and a lot has come out of it. Some of the audio we played throughout the week. Some of it's been interesting. Some of it's just whatever. Somebody brought up, we were talking about Dillingham earlier, saying of all the people who don't need a Monster energy drink, Kenny Dillingham might be at the top of the list. That guy does not need to be more caffeinated. But one of the theories that has been floated by Big 12 coaches,
yeah,
were in this whole thought of like, man, this isn't fair. We got $5 million rosters versus $30 million rosters. We got $40 million rosters versus $15 million rosters. This is the pros versus the amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And a sentiment from Big 12 coaches is that they want the College Football Playoff Committee to take into consideration mm-hmm. how much money you're spending on your team and have that weigh somehow into how we rank teams in the playoff poll.
I'm not mad at this.
You're not mad at this?
Now I know what I know what the take's going to be.
Did you feel this way 10 years ago when Alabama had nothing but 5 stars on their team? Should we have knocked them down? Well, we're doing it with 2 stars. Rank them ahead of them.
We didn't have a 12-team playoff, Andrew. It was a much different world we lived in.
How did we do this?
I don't know how
you
do it.
I need the financial spreadsheet of every team has to be turned into the playoff committee.
I actually think that they should be operating that way. I don't care. If you want to spend $40 million on your roster.
You know what you need to do to that? Have that? They need to be employees.
Well, that's true. And
until
that
then, you ain't getting those numbers.
I do think we should be able to sort that out. Like, it's one thing to tell me Texas had $35 million on the roster. I don't actually know if that's true.
I assume it is. But
people speculated Oregon had a $30 million roster, and then other people were like, I actually heard it's like 23. So, like, there's such big gaps between what is told and what the reality is. I'd love to know. Look, what we're asking on this is impossible. I don't blame a coach for feeling this way. Should Kalani Sitake feel, and look, you're right, it's always existed.
This is my biggest argument. It's always been that way.
But these coaches in that conference specifically, these monster coaches, they're trying to...
Monster coaches.
They're trying to... It's job preservation.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm Kalani Sitake and I've been pretty good, but I have not been able to get over this little hump of making the playoff
10-2, close.
But my NIL budget or spending budget is $13.5 million, and I have to go against Texas Tech, who Cody Campbell is dropping $28 million.
Mm-hmm. I get the frustration. It'd
be kind of nice to know that, right? It's like when we watch the Rays go against the Dodgers in the World Series.
You know what the difference is.
What are we going to say when the Dodgers win that series?
It's David versus Goliath. It's big money versus little money.
It's going to make me respect Tampa actually a lot more that they operate how they operate and got to that point against a Dodger team.
Right.
And so, like, should they conclude that every 10-2 Big 12 team
should be automatically in because they have a lower payroll? If you're 10-2 in the SEC, you shouldn't.
I think part of
Do you then consider strength of schedule as a part of that too?
Well, yeah.
Because it's easier to win in the Big 12 than it is the SEC.
Look, the committee should be blown up in general. They don't do it.
Look, I understand it. I agree with everything you're saying. And if I'm a coach in one of these spots, it would be incredibly frustrating. My only, like, if any of them sat down and said that to us, I would simply say this is how the sport's literally always been.
It's always been happening.
All the big kids have gone to the same big schools their entire life. Now,
it's a little more spread out.
It's a little more spread out, and it's easier if you have money to jump into that fray.
We got movement.
You got a little more movement. Like, but there was a stat the other day that I saw, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was something like 70 of the top 100 players in the country, mm-hmm. based on one recruiting site, are committed to like 11 schools.
Yeah.
So there's
kind of how it's always been.
It's not just Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State now. Now it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan, USC, LSU, Oregon. You know, right? You go down the list.
Yep.
It's a little bit more spread out in that regard, but the haves have always been the haves.
And then they trade.
And the have-nots have always been the have-nots.
Yeah.
This is like this idea that we used to have parity in college football as if Oregon State in the 1980s was going toe-to-toe with USC back before we could pay players. It's just one of the most laughable things that has come out of the NIL era.
But now it's public. So now you can kind of talk about about it, even though there's nobody putting their name to it.
Right. It's not a cash handshake or a McDonald's bag or a duffel bag.
It's a lot. It's more open. Yeah. So, like, I think that's where you get, and it's a conference. It's a conference full of monsters who want to be relevant, and they just largely haven't been in the grand scheme of it all.
Yeah, you're looking for your fit, and how do you mix into this big sport? I understand all
that. I mean, if you wanted to talk about overhauling the committee in general, I'd be super open to that. I don't know what metrics fully you change or tweak or improve, but the committee has done no favors for people. And I think largely... I think most college football fans, whether you're pro or anti-expansion, I think most college football fans utterly despise the playoff committee. They don't find their reasoning to be logical. Their explanations never line up with what their actions are.
Right.
They tell you it's these metrics and those metrics, and then it feels like it's not. So
I
don't blame Big 12 coaches for bringing this as an issue up. And also, the committee has been terrible.
It's one of the biggest reasons why, if you want to make an argument to me of an expanded playoff, it's one of the biggest arguments for it, of coming up with a system that takes them out of the equation.
Yeah.
And essentially, as we've gone through, like, instead of conference championship week, it's play-in week. So in the SEC, the top three teams, you're automatically in. There's no ranking. There's no debating. You were in the top three rankings in the SEC conference. You're in the playoff. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Four plays seven, five plays six. The winners of those two games, congratulate. It's settled on the field, and it's not left to this debate of, and this would exist in every conference and even the group of six. I just, I'm with you there. If you can make that argument to me of getting rid of the committee, I'd be fully on board with it. Last college football note, and then we'll go on and have some fun in the final hour. I'm going to give one piece of advice to friend of the show, not really, but kind of, James Franklin. We've had a lot of topics over James.
He's a friend of the program?
I think so. He's given us a lot of content over the years. He did another interview.
Oh, the buzz is building.
This time with The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps talking about Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just give him to, James, I know you're listening. You're a friend of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. It's over. His stance this time was, I stayed at Penn State too long. Which...
He wasn't feeling that way last year when he thought his team was going to be the best team in college football.
When you brought everybody back and you ranked in the top five in the preseason, you weren't thinking to yourself, damn it, should have walked away 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Hindsight, just move on. You've broken up. Your ex-wife has moved on. She's got Matt Campbell. She's in love with Matt now. Let her have fun and
They've
have kids with Matt.
They got new jerseys.
They got new jerseys. They got a new logo.
Done.
They got a revamped stadium. You're doing Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
Like, you got a whole new, you got a Hokie dancing with you. Move on. It's a new start. Embrace your new start.
I am, boy, you want to talk about fascinating seasons.
I'm rooting like hell for him, to be honest. I want Virginia Tech to be good.
Oh, I do too. I think it's great when Virginia Tech is one of those, like, hey, they're a top 15 program.
Them hosting Miami in a night game.
Yeah,
and it's like Miami's number four and Virginia Tech's 12 and they're the underdog. And I want that.
I want
that in my life.
I do too. From Michael to Marcus Vick. You know, I want the Vick brothers back.
Is there another Vick out there?
I think that was it.
Do they have
Michael
a kid, Vick?
Marcus was it.
Does Mike have kids?
I don't know. He's coaching college football now.
He is. That's right. Is he still at Sacramento State? Is that where he was? No.
No, it's not Sac State. I forget where
it is. One of the other small schools.
Alcorn or something.
Yeah.
I want them to be good, too. I also don't know. He jumped into it so quickly. Can you make an argument taking the year off
would have been
better?
Would have been the better move, yeah.
Because he got fired midseason, so you can make, well, he could have did.
He did.
He did, but
in
like
half the year
he
off.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Should he have waited 1 year?
I think the answer to that question would be how much faith do you have in Virginia Tech? Because if you're a true believer in that job, jump at it. Because you don't know what's going to be open next offseason.
Yeah, you do.
Well, jobs will be open.
A lot of jobs are going to open.
They are open
every year.
But do you have faith in, hey, like the ACC's gettable, man.
Like with Texas.
Clemson's on the way down. Florida State
Sark,
blows.
And then kick around the idea
they would
of
not
Franklin.
Hire. There's no way you could fire Sark for James Franklin. Right? They would riot in Texas. They'd burn the stadium
Another
down.
Good poll question. Who's the better coach, James Franklin or Steve Sarkisian?
We got one up. Ranking coaches, who would you want? The responses are pretty funny so far. We'll give you full answers on that in the final hour. A few final notes on the Blazers as they go into their weekend, some World Cup thoughts, and then we'll have some fun, including a player dunking on a team, a restaurant doing something. Did we put the right things in it? It's a loaded final hour on a Friday. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.